You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to 2 Kings, if you would, chapter 21. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, your book, your word, honor it. By that I mean, God, help us to have the honor in our head and heart that belongs to thy word. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. We shared on Wednesday to remind ourselves that as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and walking, and we've been practicing that for over a year in the light of all the truths that go with it. And we added to that walk. That kind of walk is an extraordinary walk. It's not ordinary, it's extraordinary. And God, in his wonderful grace, has us move in and with him. And therefore, we find the term, the expression, hinds feet. He gives the feet of the believing heart, the feet of a deer, agile, swift, quick, safe, secure. He gives them that kind of feet to move forward in the high places. Now, having said that, and we just went through that a little bit on Wednesday, so now I got to help the other side of the coin, because everything isn't wonderful floating up there, you know, in the high places, just floating and everything's wonderful and everything. So I need to see that. How do the hinds feet work on planet Earth? So therefore, our little exercise, if we may, here in the days of the kings of Judah, following Hezekiah was Manasseh. Manasseh was king, chapter 21, verse 1. He was 55 years as a king of Judah, and he was an evil king, verse 2. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. So for 55 years, Jerusalem, the temple, has Bible, all of the wonderful feasts and everything, downhill. Now, his son took over after 55 years, chapter 21, verse 19. And Amon was 20 and 2 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. And verse 20, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. So far, we've got 57 years of bad going worse. That's what we've got. So we don't have a lot going. And as we go through this, you watch how it relates to right now in history. Watch how it goes. History repeats itself. Now, having said that, Josiah comes along, and Josiah is 8 years old, chapter 22. He reigns his 18th year of reign. That means he's 26 years old. And at 26 years old, as they're working, he's been a king, and they look at the temple. The temple's in a mess. It's like everything needs to be put away, picked up, and straightened out. And so they go and begin to try to repair and clean up and fix the temple and make it decently and in order. And in doing so, they found a bunch of money, verse 5 and 6. They found a bunch of money, understandably. They're just left there. And so they found the money, and they used the money to repair, as you keep reading, to repair everything. So in the process of repairing and cleaning and everything, what happened, as you know, verse 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So remember now, in the back in Exodus and that, what did they do when the ark is in the tabernacle? And what do they put in front of the ark? Well, inside the ark are the Ten Commandments, the Sinai from Mount Sinai, the stones, tablets of stone. On the outside, leaning against it, is a copy of the Bible, of the Moses that he wrote. Here's a copy of it right there. And has anyone bothered to read it? Has anyone even bothered to look in the ark? Has anyone bothered to do anything? No. So as they're cleaning house, cleaning the temple, they find this. They find this copy of the law. And now Josiah, has anyone ever, Manasseh didn't read it, and Ammon didn't read it, and Josiah, you guys, did you ever read the Bible? No, okay. So here comes Shaphan, come and hands Josiah the Bible, the book of the law, and he read it, and he repented. He said, no, and he understood why everything was happening and how it was happening, and the judgment that was coming. And he went and in verse 11, and it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes in repentance and humility, and he did all of that. Now, having done all that, having read the book, in the process, he did all of this now, and he fixed everything, made everything good. Now, okay, here's Judah, Jerusalem, the city, and we're fixing up the temple, and we're trying to straighten everything out in society, the taxes and everything, we're trying to fix everything. And that's all good, isn't that good? We gotta fix everything, regulations and all the stuff to make the Jerusalem work better and the people to enjoy the city. All of that's wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful. Now, and Josiah did that. In fact, he did it in such a good, marvelous way. Chapter 23. And in verse 25, and like unto him, remember he had the Passover, fixed everything up, and like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might. He was wholehearted. He was one wholehearted rascal. He gave himself to God. Now David, he follows in the line of David. Many kings didn't. He's one of the kings that followed in the line of his grandfather back there, David. So in the process, he did it with heart, soul, his whole being, with all his heart, according to the law of Moses. Neither after him there arose any like him. There was no one like him. It's hard to find somebody who would do that. Wow. With all their heart, they did it. Wow. Verse 26. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from his fierceness, the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him therewith. So here's 57 years of going downhill. And all these people have been living 57 years, Manasseh and Ammon, Josiah, here they are. And they're all living in that. Now, you would think Manasseh was a horrible time, but the people of the Bea, the people, are you recalling for Josiah to make things right? No. So when we get Josiah king, and he's going to fix everything, but the people aren't fixed. The people aren't. He's doing everything right. But the people don't have a mind for that. Do you understand? They don't have that. And God, so here's the king, Josiah, no one like him. Did God change his mind about judging Jerusalem? No. No, he didn't. Hang on to that. Nothing changed. It looked good for a while, but nothing changed. Therefore, and in verse 27 again, and the Lord said, I will remove Judah from also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, 10 tribes in the north, and will cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I said, my name shall be there. I'm going to go and eliminate. So here's Josiah, and in the process, you want to know, Josiah, that young king, and he doesn't live very long, 39 years, I think, old, and in the process, that young king was blessed. How was he blessed? He was blessed by having 4 wonderful prophets, Nahum, Zephaniah, Jeremiah, and Habakkuk. He had 4 prophets sitting, looking at him. What a blessing. Why were prophets raised up? To help the people get straightened out. You don't need prophets unless it's gone. Then you don't need prophets. But if there's an opportunity to try to keep it from getting bad, worse, better, if it's an opportunity, then the prophets come in. That's what they come in. To fix things, to get you to repent, get you to fix them. Josiah got 4 of them, 4 wonderful prophets. So therefore, and this great wrath is going to come. So now I'm looking, and here's these 4 prophets, and they're all living at the same time, as it were, in the time of Josiah. Josiah is going to yield to Nebuchadnezzar in 605. So now, having said that, so what do we know? Well, in the process of all of this, judgment, and God is going to judge Jerusalem. And in doing so, he's going to do so, and I want to look at all the different prophets, Habakkuk. Habakkuk stands out in a very special way in the light of what we're looking at, because I'm trying to have hind feet to get there. And how am I going to get hind feet? Everything looks horrible. Nothing looks like it'll work at all. That's a dream, pie in the sky, never happened. I got to understand how it works. It doesn't change. Now, having said that, in the light of Habakkuk, over if you would to the book of Habakkuk. And in Habakkuk, you know the issue now, and you have to understand, I want you to, here we are in the presence of God. Now, God, you got to help us understand. You gave us Habakkuk, you were there. And how was Habakkuk? Well, Habakkuk is a dear man. He's looking at Josiah, a good king. He's looking at the people that aren't following a good king in their heart. They aren't doing right. They don't care about the good things that they honored it. They honored it. That's true. But you have to remember, in all of history, all civilizations have fallen and failed. There's not one civilization in human history that succeeded. They all fail. They all come to ruins. So, now, God, what are you helping us? So in the process, Habakkuk, you're looking at Josiah, and you're looking at a good king, but the people aren't going to go. No, the people aren't going to go. And you're going to go, and you're looking at the judgment. The judgment isn't going away. The judgment has just been confirmed. So, God, the temple's going to, Nebuchadnezzar's coming. Nebuchadnezzar isn't going away. Nebuchadnezzar's a horrible, strong at this point in history. Babylon's a very merciless nation, clobbering wherever they go. And here's Habakkuk looking at that. So Josiah good, people bad, people bad. The temple is going to be ruined. The city's going to be leveled, as it were. And Nebuchadnezzar's coming, an evil, evil king, Babylon, a nation going to come. So what do we know? Well, God, we have to be careful. And I'll say that, go backwards a sec. Here's Josiah and here's the people, but they don't get fixed. Now, lesson, wonderful lesson, Tariq, you don't want to forget it. Of all history, every time we have a good thing, bad things just continue the bad. But good things, but the people don't change. Good circumstances make it easy. The millennium, wonderful circumstances. The people don't change. They honor everything, but when God steps out of the way and lets the devil back, they rebel as the sand of the sea, and there's lots of people compared to today, because no one's dying comparatively. As a sand of the sea. If we just play Monopoly better, if we just, the good parents doesn't mean a good kid, you understand? And bad parents doesn't mean a bad kid. Everyone, Ezekiel 18, each one answers. It's the problem's a heart problem. So this is, if I played Monopoly, if I did them, had them read the Bible 10 times a day, it's a heart problem. Not a food problem, not an exercise problem, not an environmental problem. It's a personal problem all through history. Cain certainly had the super environment, and he killed his brother Abel. The tribulation's a horrible time. You would think they want to get right. No, they don't. No, they don't. Millennium, as we just mentioned. So it's a heart problem. If I just do something better in church, it'll help them. Baloney. I didn't mean baloney. I could say liverwurst. Whatever. What I'm trying to get you at is, it isn't what we think. Our Lord is the bestest teacher of all teachers. And they crucified him. Say, you couldn't get better. But they crucified him. Do you understand? It's a heart problem. So if we just do certain things, it'll help people. You better look at that again. You got to have a heart here. And that's what the whole ball game from Genesis to the end of the millennium is about. To teach you the law won't do it, grace won't do it, tribulation won't do it, the millennium won't do it. It won't do it. It won't. It's a heart problem. 1,000 years having everything good, and you rebel as the sand of the sea. And you gave hypocritical obedience, and you bowed when the Lord, you bowed your knee, Psalm says. But in your heart, you were still standing up. It's a problem. So you're looking at people trying to, we just help them. How? It's a heart problem. It's an eternal heart problem. And you got to see that. That's what the problem is. You need that. Otherwise, you're looking, if we just do things better. Well, that doesn't mean you don't do them better. It just doesn't, it means that doing them better isn't going to cure the problem. It's a heart problem with God. Now, and that's, if you just get that, it'll help. Because then you're looking for things just to make it better. That's no question. No question. If you get $3 more in pay per month, it'll certainly help you with McDonald's. There's no question. There's things that help, you know. That doesn't change the heart and the relationship to God. That's the problem. And you need to see that so that you don't get hung up. I'm going to do this. I want to help people. You want to help people. But I'm not going to help. I can't do. They have to want to do it. It has to come from here in your heart. And if you don't want that, it ain't going to happen. I don't care if you are a bishop and have a big hat and a big robe. It won't make any difference at all. Now, so therefore, Habakkuk, understand a little bit. Habakkuk is frustrated. He's very frustrated, very upset. He's looking at the world right now in front of him. We're trying to fix, and our own country's trying to do it. We're trying to recover, trying to fix things that are almost, from a human standpoint at least, unfixable. Wow. No, that's hard. How do I have hinds feet? How do I do that? So Habakkuk, what was your question? In Habakkuk chapter 1, I don't want to do all that because we'll be in Habakkuk later if I don't get moving. Anyway, Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 3. Verse 2, how long shall I cry? So he's looking. He's looking to God, no question. Verse 3, why dost thou show me iniquity? You cause me to see judgment and all that's coming from Nebuchadnezzar. Cause me to behold grievance, for spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. I want to know, God, fast, move through it. What do you want? I want to know how come you're letting, I understand the judgment of Jerusalem. I understand that. But then you're sending in Babylon, the Chaldeans, that are terrible, that wicked people. Why don't you just chasten Israel? You did it in the past. Why don't you just chasten them? Why Nebuchadnezzar? Why that? Why they more evil than Israel? How come, God? Question. He's looking. It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem like God would do that, would he? Yes, he would. Why? And therefore, if I can, I'll read verse 13, if you at least get that part of it. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, carest not to look on iniquity. Wherefore, why lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? So as we just said, how come? Okay, oh God, so what's he going to do? You know, chapter 2, he's going to sit there. He's looking for an answer, and God answers him. And therefore, chapter 2, picking up, please, in thought, if I can, verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and take it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. In other words, I'm going to help you understand, how are you going to handle life? How are you going to handle the way civilizations rise and fall? They never get fixed. Nothing ever, everything goes from bad to worse, just keeps going downhill. Daniel chapter 2 and all that, just keeps going downhill. All the nations, all civilization, all history. Wow. So in the process, all of it goes down. What are you going to do? I'm going to help you, said God. How am I supposed to survive and see this? Verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. In other words, the things are going to get very clear, but not yet. Though it tarry, it's waiting. Wait for it, because, why am I waiting? Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. You'll get understanding, But, what are we supposed to do till we get it clearer in our little head in the light of how this is? Verse 4, but behold, the soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, Terry. But the just, in other words, if you're looking at things and trying to figure it out, you aren't looking to God rightly. You're looking to try to use your intellect and your brain, which are wonderful, but in contrast, in comparison to God's ways and thoughts that are higher than the heavens, all of a sudden, we aren't even on the page to talk about it. Our brain and our intellect and our understanding are much nothing. So, but when we talk to each other, we can use that kind of thing, but not with God. So God, how are we going to handle you? You're going to have to go, the end of verse 4, the just shall live by faith. That's how you're going to do it. I'll just say it to David. David walked by faith, believed God. And how do you say it to us? 2 Corinthians 5. We walk by faith, by means of faith, and not by sight. How are you going to walk? By faith. You're going to have to what? Trust God. Trust God. Who's the general? Who's the commander? Who has the plan? I'll use an illustration from the military. I'm in the trenches. The firing, the world's busy, back and forth. We're trying to win in the war, conflict. I'm in the war. I'm there. Now, I have no idea what the enemy has, and all I know is they're shooting and having that. Do you know back at headquarters, they're sitting at a table, sipping coffee, looking at the map and the things and the everything, and they're doing it. And they know exactly where the enemy, they're moving the enemy, ships and everything, moving them around. And they're doing all of that. And they have all the information. They know where the ammunition is, the weapons are. They know all of it. I'm in the trenches. I don't know that. I got 3 bullets left. I don't know that. They do. So I'm going to have to trust the headquarters, that they understand I'm out here with 3 bullets to help me, because I don't know how to help. I don't know what's going on. You and I don't know what's going on. We do know what's going on, but we don't know what's going on in the intricacies that are very profound and very complicated right now all over the world. China, Iran, Russia, all of them, Iraq. Where do you stop? Israel, Egypt. Wow. Big. Mm-hmm. Now, so God, here we are looking. So God, we're going to have to go and go by faith. You're going to look to the headquarters. Now, headquarters in the world, that doesn't always work very good in reality, in war, etc. But with God, it's quite different, because God, the general, the one in charge, is in you if you're saved, and with you. Now, I'm jumping ahead, but you need to see that. So I don't have to worry about headquarters knowing that I only have 3 bullets. God knows. I'm not counting on my 3 bullets. I'm counting on God. I don't need bullets. The enemy, I can't shoot the enemy with a bullet. I can't hit evil, Satan, demon. How do I hit a demon with a bullet? How do I hit the evil behind everything? Power blocks, mafia blocks, all kinds of things. How do we ever touch? We can't touch them. God can. God can. So we're looking to God. We're looking to God now. And so we're going to have to go by faith. That's right. By faith. That's the only way to go. Oh, but there must be another way. No. Without faith, it's what? it's impossible to please me. He that cometh to me, said God, must believe that I am, and that I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. Without faith, you can't do it. But I'm going to do it. No, you can't. You're back to sight again. You're back to trying to understand it without God. It's very difficult to understand without God, because nothing's coming out that you can see that's good. It's inevitable, inescapable. It's certain. It has to happen. The system has to go. You'll remember we did it. We did it back at using illustration. Hope it helps. Here you are. You're back here looking with God. And here's human history. And human history is done, all done. The book's finished. It has to be outworked. And you turn the pages. And here we are. And the pages have to be turned. The calendar, the clock, they have to be turned. You don't have any choice. You don't stop the pages. And how am I going to do it? I can't do it because I need to stay longer on this page. I can't stay longer on this page. I would like to stay at age 20. You know, but I can't. I can't. And neither can you. You can't do it. You're stuck. Now, either you understand, because you aren't in charge. This isn't you. You're out here. You're just in the trenches. You're in here. And all this has to happen. And we're looking at it. It's inevitable. It has to happen. And that's what, if you don't see that, then you're looking, and I'm all for it. I never don't remember a year I ever got so much need of people with money. I get envelopes, phone calls. I don't know what you guys get. Envelopes, phone calls by the dozen. I said I have to have 4 jobs and 10 more hours a day to pay you guys. I said, I can't possibly do it. I do the police and the things, but I can't do it. Everybody. But I understand, you should have been working on this a year ago. You can't. No. I understand, and I'm all for you. I'm all for you. If you can build that dumb wall, build it. The wall isn't dumb. It just doesn't think. You understand? I'd build a wall. I'd build a 50-foot wall, electrified. How's that? That'll take care of that one. Wow. But okay, we're going to have to do. We're going to have to look to you, God. So therefore, Habakkuk ends with, goes to a magnificent putting it all together for us. His personal life. Watch how it goes. We won't get very far. We'll get something. In the chapter 3, here's this great, great poem, old prayer. And verse 2, what are you saying to God? O Lord, I have heard thy speech. I've heard you tell me what is. You told me to wait by faith. I was afraid, understandably. God, I didn't know how to handle an awful situation. O Lord, revive thy work. Give it life in the midst of the years. God, you got a wonderful plan. Remember back to the book, turning the pages. You got a wonderful plan, a kingdom coming up. You promised the kingdom. You promised the tribulation. All of these, you got a wonderful plan for Israel, for the whole world. In the midst of the years, make known to me in wrath. I want to understand God. I want to understand, so I'm with it. What's the pages? What's the next pages? So I'm expecting it. I'm not going to be shocked by it. In wrath, the end of verse 2. Remember mercy. Remember we did mercy at length. Understand mercy. Aha. God's personal care involvement. God wants to be involved. He's pity, has pity, compassion, and he's able to do something about it. So in wrath, I don't want, Habakkuk has said, I don't want you to not judge or fix things to whatever measure you need to. But as you fix things, and in your righteous, holy judgment, remember mercy. Have you ever prayed that? Ever goof in such a way that you kick yourself and then you cry out, God, be merciful. Be merciful. Be merciful. Wow. Now, and remember mercy. And therefore, you go through 4, 5, 6, the verses. Verse 12, 13, 14, God's going to go. His mercy is going to fix the tribulation and everything. God's going to judge Nebuchadnezzar and ultimately the tribulation and everyone. So, God, you're going to fix everything. I am. God, you're going to remember being merciful. I am. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to be merciful in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and without faith, remember, it's impossible to please him. So here we are looking to you, God, to be merciful. Now, one other place before we pick up back here, go with me over to Hosea chapter 14. This is with the 10 tribes in the north. And in chapter 14, you will notice, they're going to repent. God, ultimately, that's the future for Israel. And I'll read chapter 14. I'll go to verse 2. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips with thanksgiving, etc. Verse 3. Asher, Assyria, shall not save us. We're looking to Assyria. They aren't going to do it. We will not ride upon horses, neither for their strength and safety. Neither shall we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods, we make all the idols and the idolatry. On the contrary, for in thee the fatherless orphans findeth what? They're going to find mercy. That's what you're hoping for. In the midst of it all, we're back to mercy. Find mercy. That's what you got to have. Mercy. Back over to Habakkuk. And in the process, Habakkuk and in chapter 3, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 15. Thou didst walk through the sea, Red Sea, etc., and with thine horses through the heap of great waters. In other words, God, you can work out anything, Red Sea, Jordan River, anything. Doesn't make any difference. So, now having said that, Habakkuk, what are you going to say now? So, when we come now, if I can, in the light of it, God's saying what he does in the most wonderful way, to Habakkuk. Therefore, verse 16, when I understood what was going to happen, I looked at Josiah, I looked at the people, I looked at the Nebuchadnezzar coming, I looked at the ruined Jerusalem, I looked at everything coming to a big zero. That's what I looked at. And when I did that, boy, I wasn't a happy camper. It was a very, very sad day in my life, to say the least. Verse 16, when I heard my belly trembled, my belly, the inwards, the vital organs, the heart, everything, trembled. My whole insides trembled. What else? My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness. God, I heard you say something, and you told me it had to be by faith. That's right. Has to be by faith. I heard you say it, God. Verse 16. And rottenness hath entered into my bones. Rottenness, like worm eating wood. Rotten wood. You got, know what rotten wood is? Falls apart. My insides all shriveled up. I didn't have anything. I couldn't stand. I wasn't strong. I wasn't able to do it, God. I was falling apart, like Jeremiah. And do it again. Going, without turning there, to Job. You don't have to turn there. Job 42 in that. After all of that exercise, Job, where God took away your family, everyone except your wife, and your animals. God took away everything except your wife. And he did that. And then you, then he covered you from head to toe with a plague. And you had to live with that. And then you had a bunch of dear friends around you that were trying to figure it out. They didn't see God. They didn't think about God. They weren't coming by faith to God, who has a reason for everything. They weren't doing that. And so therefore they became miserable counselors trying to comfort me. So I went through all of that. Wow, what a miserable lot that was. It was. But when it comes to the end, what are you going to say? God, you had to humble my heart. It's in ashes and repent. I didn't understand things too wonderful for me. I got caught up trying to analyze my situation, trying to analyze the world, trying to make my life woo, school, home, work, future, trying to make it all come out all right. That's what I was trying to do. I lost you, God, in the process. And I missed the whole point, the whole purpose. All I had to do was look to you, the headquarters, the general. And you already had already won the victory. You already had the plan of conquest. You already had the procedure to bring about the bestest, mostest that glorifies you. So later, God, we'll see it in a second. So now, I trembled. And I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble, that I might rest, that I might go down and rest my heart, to sit, to be sit seated, waiting, rest, wait patiently. I'm going to go and rest patiently in the day of trouble. When he, Nebuchadnezzar's coming, the Chaldeans are coming, cometh up, the word cometh up, the little verb cometh up is used, Judges 1:1, of war. The word is used to come up, to go to war. Nebuchadnezzar is coming to go to war with us and going to ruin Jerusalem. That's what he's going to do. So I trembled in myself that I might rest, wait quietly in the day of the Lord, the day of trouble. I'm waiting. Nebuchadnezzar's coming. He isn't here yet. He isn't going to come for 39 years, approximately, for me. And in the process, I think it was that, coming up in the day of trouble, when he cometh up into the people, the nation, Israel, he will invade them and with his troops. I'm waiting for Nebuchadnezzar to come up and invade Jerusalem and level Jerusalem. Are you waiting for Jerusalem to be leveled? No. I'm waiting for the Chaldeans to be judged. God, I understand our judgment. I understand Jerusalem. I don't understand the Chaldeans, the world, the nations. So I'm waiting for you to judge the nation of Babylon. That's what I'm waiting for. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm sitting here, and I don't see it yet. I won't see it. But it's coming. Are you going to judge Babylon? That's what I want to know. God, to make it fair, to make it come out right. God, are you going to do that? Yes, I am. He is. Absolutely. Absolutely, God, you're going to do it. And with no question. No question you're going to do it. And in the process, with all the trial, resting, coming, going to war, if I can, over in facing the events of the future, we shared that they are not going to go away. You're going to have to see them, etc. face them. The troubles are there, and they're coming. And who's going to make things right? God is. God's going to take care. And you know, without me telling you, you know that judgment begins where? At the house of God. God always starts with his own house. He judged his son. He judged his son. He judges believers. Believers first. The Jew first, because they knew. And then he goes to the Gentiles. He's going to judge Peter, the house of God, first. And if he, hang on to that, do it. In fact, you want, why not? Use your Bible. Over to Peter. You know it, but it's a wonderful thing to be reminded of. So it helps us. And if I can, in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, it's going to start first with those next to God, the priest, the people. He starts with closest next to him. So he's always fair. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? Wow. And verse 18, if, and it is true, first class, if it is true, the righteous scarcely, the word scarcely, hardly, if the righteous scarcely be saved, well, I'm saved. Are you scarcely saved? Are you trying to, how far can I live to the edge here? Over here to the edge, I want to go. Over here, how far can I go and still be in? How far can I get? No. Scarcely saved. I don't want to be scarcely saved. We're to judge, 1 Corinthians 3:15, that we're judged by fire. Saved is by fire. That's hardly saved. You're saved, but not very good. You're hardly saved. With difficulty. It wasn't an easy thing, because you fought me all the fought. It'd be like a doctor, and you're trying to go, and you're there, or how's the dentist? You like the dentist? And here's the dentist, and the dentist's got this thing. He said, I got to go in and get this thing inside there, and he's smiling at you, but then he got this big, long thing with a point in it, and he's coming in with it like this and coming in, and you back off, you shut your mouth, and then he ties your hands down, and you, there it comes. Wow. You're fighting him. Wow. So here we are going. We aren't fighting you, God. I don't want to fight you. The dentist is trying to help your teeth. God's trying to help your soul. God's trying to help you see. You've got to do it by faith. You can't do it any other way. There's no other way. Oh, but there's not. No, there isn't. Remember, the Father said it. God, the Father said it about his Son. Help thou mine unbelief. Help my unbelief. I need to believe, but I'm not believing. That's a fight with God. What are you fighting with God for? We just shared it the other day. I know it isn't popular. You want believing the Bible isn't the same as understanding it. And I'm supposed to believe God. Then I'll get to the understanding. I'm supposed to believe what he said. I don't need to understand it. I need to believe it. Then I can understand it. And people want to understand something before believing it. And you can't do that. And you're fighting God. And your whole Christian life is a fight, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And you never get anywhere. You got to quit fighting. You got enough to fight about, don't you? We read Psalm 46. Go back there. We're ahead. I got to quit, but I hope I didn't get very far. I just hope you got a little bit. Over to, what I say? Psalm 46? Psalm 46. I want you to tell me quickly how you think the situation is. I want you to I'm going to put you in a situation. You ready? I'm going to give you a situation. Here it comes. You're in it. Use your mind. Ready? Okay. Therefore, the earth is going to be removed. The mountains are going to be carried into the midst of the sea. Mount Washington's going to the ocean. The Connecticut's going to fall off. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. God, do you believe that's critical? Would that be critical to you? I was there once years ago in a California earthquake thing out there. Jeanette was out with her mother and whatever the situation was. I was in the city, Costa Mesa and that. And in the process, the ground, that was a big earthquake out there, and the ground opened up in different places. Wow, you know, and I didn't know what it was. I don't need to give you all that stuff. But in the process, I said to the girl in the desk, everything was falling down. I said, should I go outside? It looked like a nice big field. You know, I mean, a nice big field. Nothing could fall on you, except it could open up and swallow you. And I said, don't forget to call 911 if I'm missing. I'm down in that hole. I'm just kidding. You understand? It's bad. And off all that happened, Psalm 46, you read it. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. She'll help her, and that right early. The world is going to be all upset, raged, verse 6. And the kingdoms were moved and like an earthquake. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still, verse 10, and know. Be quiet, hush, and know that I am God. And I will be exalted among the heathen, the nations. And I will be exalted in the earth. And in all the trauma and all the trouble and all the tribulation and all the awfulness of being in the world, that's why mercy is so wonderful, because it covers us for our miserable lot. But we don't see it. But that's because we're blind. We're spiritually blind. We can't see it. We can't see death. We see death in the grave and go by the cemetery, but I can't see death. I can't feel death. If I could, boy, it would be different. But I don't feel it. You see? And when I have it, I won't feel it. I'll feel something else. Wow. You got it? I hope you got a little bit. It's a wonderful thing, what God's doing. So, hind's feet, you betcha. But God gave us hind's feet, and he didn't take it away. God, the Most High God, to get you down the corridor of time in the valley of deep darkness and evil and all of the trouble. We haven't got to the good part yet. All of it's good, but we haven't got to the better part. What can I say? Our Father and God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For the little bit, help us to get little things that would help us understand the journey that we have to take. If we're going to be human on planet Earth, if we're going to be saved, then we need to be saved. And we need to look to you to enjoy being saved, to be able to practice the relationship that makes us enjoy being saved. And our God, we thank you for all that you're doing and all that you're not doing and all that you're going to do. And thank you for loving us and thank you for your patience and caring. And God, here we are. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.